say, today is a day, today is a day. Come on. Lift up your voice and say, today is the day. Lift up your voice and say, today is the day, today is the day. Lift up your voice and say, today is the day, today is the day. Give him praise, give him praise, give him praise. Give God praise. Give him praise, give him praise, give him praise. Give God praise. In the mysteries and the wonders God has revealed in his power, give him praise, give him praise. In the glory of his presence he has revealed, just surrender, give him praise, give him praise. I say of the Lord, today is a day, it's a day, it's a day, today, today. Today! Come on! This is the day, the day, the day, it is the day. Ah. This is the day, the day, the day, today. Great, incredible, unusual, manifested power of God in such an unusual way. Seasons, times, awakening, revelation, understanding, treasures of the kingdom poured out on the people of God. This is the day. This is the day. God wants you to be able to see at every and any given time his hand prevailing in your life in such love and truth and comfort and joy and peace that no matter what the storm looks like, you're excited that the wind is blown. You know, a sailboat on the water can't go very far without the wind. How many of you are ready to go someplace you've never been before? No, really, 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 really. This is a day, is a day, is a day. Today's a day. Is a day, is a day, is a day, is a day, today. Is a day, 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 today. This is a day that God has made. I will rejoice. And I will be glad in it. Because it is finished, not diminished. Said, it is finished. Don't be diminished. Time, the moment, the season, God is revealing the spirit of power this hour. Just say of yourself, this is the day. Today. Today. Steve, some incredible new opportunities are going to avail themselves to you in the midst of an uncertain wind. God has led you along this path today. Today is yesterday, and last year, and 7 years ago, and 12 and 15 years ago. Today is that day. The day you received the word that excited you. The day of creativity. The day of this is going to be amazing. The day that you put your foot forward and said, I believe it with all my heart. You expended yourself. You expressed yourself. You extended yourself in every way you knew how. That day is today. And the fruit of that day is today. This is the day. It's happening. And there's no going back. You've come too far. You can't see where you came from. Only where you have arrived. For the word of the Lord has blown in the wind and is the wind in your sails. And this is the greatest season of your life. God, we give you praise. You've waited so long. You wondered when, why, and how. God says, this is the day. Can you see what I've done? Can you see it unfolding right now? This is the time. This is the season. Don't doubt. There is no reason. What God has said will surely come to pass. And just say, thank God, this is the day. This is the day. Interesting thing about time with both of you. You're both gone back in time. Both of you have gone back in time. You've literally gone back in time. and this is what I see. What you hoped for years ago, but it just couldn't happen. You believed it would, but it couldn't because of what God was building around you. But you have gone back in time. You are living today. Things you wanted, do you know it? Things you wanted to live years ago. And for both of you, that the circumference of that world has expanded beyond what you thought it would be. And all God wants you to do is give Him praise, see the good in everything around you, and declare with a single mind, this is really the most incredible, most wonderful, most productive season of our lives. You will write like a madman, fully minded. And the only madness of your mind is that you have expanded beyond what you thought you wanted to do, and you have come to know the mind that God has put on the inside of you. And it's going to feel, Jen, like a career has blown up on the inside of you. And here's an old word: God will speak and teach through you. Don't you know the spirit of a teacher is on the inside of you? It is time in this coming year for you to teach. And you have to teach. And you should teach in this house. In this house. Hear the word of the Lord. All chains are broken. The bondage of the past has been burned away, for the Lord has put you in the furnace of His fire. This is that season. This is that. Today is the day. The blessing of the Lord rest on you. God is bringing, cultivating a season that we believe for when Jesus, that we believe for a long time. But it's going to unfold. The closing year, the closing out of this year, and we're entering into 3 years of purging by the Spirit of God. You should be excited. Because God says this thing, He says, when I prune, and that which I purge, He purges it for Himself. He prunes it for Himself so you can bear more fruit. So if you're going to build a home, you have to purge the ground of everything. If you're going to plant a field, you have to purge the ground. You have to plant it, but it doesn't stay empty. Purge doesn't mean empty. Purge means prepared for what is coming. And this incredible season of God purging is God moving away the stones. Yeah, there was a time when an enemy back in the Bible, back in the time, we are in the Bible times, back in the day, an enemy would come and fill the field of his enemy with rocks, with stones, so his field wouldn't produce. And the way he stopped his enemy from being successful was by filling his field with rocks. So what the rocks did is it kept the invisible from coming out. So what they would have to do is clear the stones away. There was a purging of the field. God is purging the hearts of the people. God is purging His nation. This is not the work of any man. This is the work of the Spirit of God through His creation. And in that place, we are going to see the most wonderful, amazing testimonies. Hear them, see them, live in them, breathe in them, walk in them, watch them come alive. God will make your vision and your word come alive where you can watch it live and in action. This is that day. Oh, we surrender, Father. We sarabama. We sarabama. We sarabama. Jesus. Time is now. Time is now. This is that season. This is that time. Jesus. 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 This is the time. Anton, Come take my hand. Right here, right now, Father, because of the surrender of your heart, Lord says, I'm walking you into a secret place, a time you would consider a time that is renowned, unprecedented, new, unique. And you'll be there before you know it. And you'll turn around and say, God has made me ruler over this. What did I do? This is beyond what I would imagine. The voice of the Lord is in you to speak. And as you hear the word of the Lord and you act upon the faith of that word, God says, I have acted on your behalf. I have made a place for you in the earth to show your faith, to showcase what you have believed. You are walking into that season now. Don't try to figure it out. It's beyond your comprehension, but God will make it manifest that you will stand in awe and say, look what God has done. I lack nothing. I want for nothing. My abundance exceeds my needs by so much. I can do as God has put in my heart to do. I am expanded beyond me. Blessed be the name of the Lord. As the word of God is, so let it be done in you. Jesus' name. Jesus. God, we worship you. Jonathan, your hands are free to do as you will in the will of the Father. The windows have opened, but now the roof is coming off, says the Lord. So even if you look up, you don't see the ceiling, but you see the heavens of God. I'll take the roof off. This all has to be done. So when you stand and testify, you say, look and see what God has already done. Jesus, we worship you. Shelley, life to you. Life and the expectancy of ministry that God has placed on the inside of you. You are not coming to a time of retirement. You are coming into a time of your vision where the Lord will speak through you in such profound ways. You will demonstrate not of might nor of power, but of my spirit. And as you walk in these days, you'll know exactly what this means to you. This is a profound season of time unlike any other for you. This is the hour. This is the season of God's favor in your life. You have come to the end of your beginning and come to the beginning of your end. What was has come to pass. So what is to come can make itself known. This is the greatest season of your life. God, we give you praise. We worship you, Lord. Jesus. Marla, here's a word. Stars will hang around you, but the only thing you'll see is the sun. God will cause you to shine brighter than you've ever shined before with a leisure attitude, saying, I have entered into a rest of God, and the Lord has made it so fruitful around me. The bounty, the fruit exceeds my imagination. This is the time of the revelation of Jesus Christ in you, that master of all things, that Lord of presence and power, that Lord of wisdom and understanding. This is the time where the Son of the living God wills to shine through you in a way you have never experienced before. Your season begins this season. This is the greatest season of your life. God, we give you praise. We worship you in your spirit, in your presence, in your power. Provoke him. Provoke the Lord. Will you provoke him? Provoke the Lord. The centurion soldier, I have a message here, but this is where we are right now. The centurion soldier provoked God. He provoked Jesus by saying, don't come. Can you imagine? Knowing authority and power in the way this man knew how to respect authority and power, knowing Jesus was someone very, very special. The word doesn't describe how he knew Jesus, but he knew, he had confidence in the word that Jesus would speak. And he provoked God and created a moment by saying, do it now. I'm not worthy, but none of that matters. That's what he said. I'm not worthy. But what is at hand, what is important right now, has nothing to do with my worthiness. It has to do with your word. Speak the word now. Speak the word now. Speak the word now. You need to hear this. Speak the word now. 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 Speak the word now, Jesus. Oh, God of heaven and earth. Lord ever present. God ever with us. Someone is walking into, and your healing is walking right through you right now. Breathing problems. Your lungs and your bronchial tubes right now. Take a deep breath and live. Take a deep breath and believe. God. Right here. The word healing is in this moment right here. Here in the house, those are reviewing. Healing is in this moment. Healing is in this word. Healing is in this word. Your faith can touch heaven. Your faith can pull the kingdom of God that is within you. Provoke it within you in a way that God manifests something phenomenal in you. Jesus, my God, my King, my Lord. How great you are. Right here, right now. This is a prophetic moment in time. You can take your seats. We worship you, O God. And we thank you that we can. We worship you. We praise you. We stand in peace and surrender. Healing to our friends right now. Chris, Terry, everyone out there. Healing to our family. Healing to your body. Today, why wait? Joy, peace, wisdom, revelation, truth, understanding, knowledge, power. Oh God, my God, great God. We're touching the nations with your word today. We're impacting the nations and all around the world. Your presence is making itself known, for you are God in and through us. And you alone are worthy of praise. Great God. We hitch our chariot to your mighty horse, O God. Take us where you want us to go. Let us see what you want us to see. Let us hear what you want us to hear. Your way is perfect. Tetelestai. So we can walk in Mamlacha. We worship you. We praise you. How present you are, O God. Your people, the seed of your sowing. Your planting. That's who you people are. You are the seed of God's sowing, the planting of the Lord. Father, we praise, we worship you. What a great day this is. What a day God has made. What an incredible day you have made. What an awesome day you have made, filled with such purpose, such profoundness of power. Jesus. Jesus. Matt, Lori. Your inheritance wasn't what was given to you in writing, in ink and print, but your inheritance is your faith. And this is why. You will be able to spend and spend and spend without a dipping recourse. You can give and give and give and sow and sow and sow without depleting. Your faith is like a hole. The more you take out, the bigger it gets. But until the lesser falls away, the greater will not be drawn on. And today, you're drawing on the greater, your inheritance for all God has given you and your family and that which is to come. Your seed and your seed's seed, your children and your grandchildren, the inheritance of the faith. It is the faith that they see and hear in you, and it will become alive before their eyes. They'll be able to watch your faith for years and years to come. Rejoice today, because God has not only covered you, but he has clothed you. And your blessing is the favor of God that pursues you. God will give you praise. Holy Father, this season, this time is different than any other time. It's unlike any other season. It's unlike any other moment. It's a prevailing time. And it's right now. You know, we're in these bodies. And the Word speaks to us about these bodies that are created of clay. And no matter how hard we believe, no matter what we do, no matter the efforts that we expend, we still wake up every morning in these human bodies. And we have the opportunity for thoughts and ideas to come into our mind and discourage or encourage. And sometimes what comes into your mind may not necessarily be your choosing. You may hear something or you may see something. A thought comes into your mind that you're not trying to cultivate, and you deal with that idea, you deal with that attitude, you deal with that thought. Mark, I'm going to have you stay up here. You provoke me today. And we wake up and we're still in these vessels, but why? Because God says this, and it's important to know something. The Word of God says that everything that God has done, everything that God does, he does it because it pleases him. And he does it so it will please him. Now, God is eternal, and his ways are eternal. So whatever pleases the Lord can please him for eternity. You can please the Lord for eternity because you're his creation. And if any of you think you showed up here on your own authority, then you're missing. Let me tell you, you didn't. God created you. The question has ever been in your mind, why am I here? Because God determined you to be here. You may not be walking in the fullness of who God has created you to be because you're not aware. And awareness is really, really important. That's why we do what we do here, to understand what God's plan for you and then to find that mystery, that treasure for you. And not to try and convince anyone else of what it is. I learned a long time ago, and I had a dream not long ago where I couldn't convince anyone, no matter how hard I tried. But by the word of God saying this is or this is not the will of God, something happened immediately that I could not do. God does that in you. And everything he creates is for a purpose. There is a great purpose. And in God's purpose, he finds his pleasure. How many like to walk in the pleasure of life, blessings, joy, your home, your family, your friends, your job, your business, your ministry, whatever it is, we like to walk in the pleasure of it, in the joy of it. And then the word declares that the joy of the Lord is our strength. So in these bodies God created, where we can have rational or irrational thoughts, happy, joyful, peaceful, sad, angry, uncertain, God made these vessels for a very specific reason, because these vessels require the one thing that outside of the boundaries of just the spiritual spirit reality of God, there is far more, meaning outside of what is invisible is visible. So God made not only the invisible, there's not only the invisible realm of God, but there are the visible attributes of God. The scriptures teach us that. And it says, as a matter of fact, you human beings, you can't deny the glory of God. Just the word says, just look up and see creation. You can't figure out where it came from. And the only conclusion can be God. You can talk about a big bang. You can talk about anything. Someone had to make the bang. You can talk about things just coming together. I agree. God spoke, bang, and things came together. But if there is creation, there must be a creator. And there is no one that can go outside of that, no matter how scientifically minded you are, no matter where you come from or what you think. If there is creation, there must be a creator. If there is life, if there is reality, someone had to create. Someone had to bring that reality into existence. There's no way around it. And to allow your life's experience to discourage you from believing that God is God and God is with you is falling far too short of the simple intelligence God has given you in your ability to discern that God must be God beyond my imagination. So in the simplest terms, don't be discouraged by what you've gone through or what you did or did not see, or even what you did or did not do. But seek him, the word says, while he may be found. Interesting word. Feel for me while I am near. So God in his invisible attributes has something beyond, because he is eternal. He's ever expanding. He's all God. He's all there is, but that is endless. Wouldn't you agree? And so he created you for his pleasure. He created you for his purpose. His ways are perfect. His ways are eternal. And everything that God does has a purpose in it. So Romans 8:28 became a revelation. All things have to work together for good. To them that love God. Why does it say to them that love God? Because only if you can see by faith what God is doing will you enjoy the blessing of that moment. So you can see the good that is working in that moment of time. And a prophetic spirit always sees what the moment is about, not necessarily what the moment is at the moment. Not the face value. Even though that moment is reality, that thing, the trial you're going through, or the hardship, or the uncertainty, or whatever it is, you're not far away from where you need to be when you're experiencing these moments. You're right there. And what God is saying is, in this moment, what I want you to do is turn your whole heart and faith towards me and know that I am God with you. You don't have to try and figure it out. That causes you to short circuit, because it's beyond. What God is doing is beyond your ability to comprehend. He says, I'll do exceeding abundant and beyond all you know to ask or think. So your worst day may be your greatest opportunity. And most all the time, it's exactly what it is. Because no matter how opposed life may seem to your desire or your future, that opposition has another direction. And when you can see God in that opposition, you'll see the other direction. That opposition oftentimes is just saying you are pushing yourself in a direction where you'll never know who you are in the fullness of who God has called you to be. So in the short of things, be encouraged, even in the most trying of times, because that's your greatest hour. That's your hour of victory. That's your hour of transformation. Jesus hung on the cross, seeming to be and was the most horrific hour of humanity. And yet at the same time, the most incredible season of time. And only God can do that. Only God can do that. And he's done it. So why then are we as we are? Why is life so hard? So you will look for an easier way. Why is life so fearful? So you will find the way of fearlessness. Why is it so tough? So you will find your strength. Because you are never the sum. You think you're the sum total of what you possess and what you want. But that's only the introduction to who you are. And it's when you go behind, you go beyond that veil, that drape of the fear and the doubt and I'm uncertain and the when and the why and the where, and you come to the He is, that veil, you get to peek behind that veil. You get to see something. And when you do, everything that's taking place in your life isn't about a thing happening, but it's why it happened for you. That good thing, that blessing. God doesn't bless you simply. Remember, His ways are eternal. So when God blesses you with a thing, what is a thing? What would be the thing? A job, a new car, a new house, a baby. Babies are going to be born over the next 7 years like crazy. It's going to be like a boomer season. Spiritual babies. I know because I'm a boomer, so they say. And boomers are incredibly, incredibly favored. But this is the time where things that weren't going to happen, happen because you're going to be able to see behind the drape. The Word calls God the invisible God. No eye has seen, no ear has heard. There's a little caveat to that. It says, yet God is revealing by His Spirit. So God's ways are perfect. He's love. And He does everything for His pleasure. Think about it. He made you to please Him. Think about that. Why am I here? You are here to please God. And I love this scripture, not by might or by power, but by His Spirit. So Jesus is teaching one day, and He's talking about seed and soil. And the disciples come to Him, and they say, Lord, what does this mean? Why? What is this parable? Jesus said, something you need to hear today. He said, I'm telling you these parables because it is given to you. You are supposed to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. You're supposed to learn how to see beyond the veil. We get upset with someone because we're looking at him on the wrong side of the veil. You become afraid because you're looking on the wrong side of the veil. Remember, Jesus tore the veil in half and He said, I want you to look behind. A representation of so much of what He was going to teach, which was look behind the veil, the kingdom of God is at hand. To people that are hard-hearted and hard-headed and don't want to hear, everything is in a parable. He wasn't trying to say, I'm going to say it in a parable because I don't want them to get it. What He was saying is their life is a parable. I'm talking to them about where they live and what they live, but what they can't see is beyond the parable, which is the treasure, the mystery. And that's what Jesus is talking about. I want to reveal the mystery. So then why us? We're very tangible. We're very visible. Reach over and touch your neighbor. Thank you. Reach over and touch your neighbor. Come on, Jerry. Bang, tangible. Did God miss it here? Of course not. His ways are perfect. How come I can touch you? How come I can see you? Why are you tangible to me? You're God's will, you're God's purpose, you're God's favor. Why did God make tangible things? Because God wants to be tangible to us. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld Him as the glory of the only begotten Son of the Father. And we touched Him. And we handled Him. And we saw Him. God wants to live in your reality because you are a part of His. Very simple. He created you. He made you. That's His will. That's His purpose. It pleased Him. That's His reality. You're part of His reality. The Ark of the Covenant was a fascinating creation. It was a creation. It wasn't just made. It was put together, and intricately so. I mean, the gold and the facets and the rings and just overlaid specific dimensions. Everything was so specific. Have you ever wondered why? I did. I ask questions like this. Why? Because, I mean, would God be fascinated, or would God be pleased with a dimension? He's beyond dimension. So 21 cubits or 18 cubits? I mean, is that size? And you know, the ark wasn't like huge like you think. It wasn't huge. It was a smaller than you may imagine size. But it harnessed great power. There would be times they would bring the Ark of the Covenant into a city and the people would cry out, "They've come to destroy us." And it was about the ark. They were afraid of the ark because they knew it harnessed such unsurmountable power. There was a time they brought the ark into a man's providence, into his places, his acreage, his land, his little kingdom, and he prospered. He liked it being there. Favor of God. But all the intricacy of putting it together, why was God so interested in putting that together the way He did? Why so much attention to detail? Why gold and asai wood and the things that God commanded? Why? And the temple of God. The glory of the temple of God. So incredible, so amazing. Why did God? Why did He have them for years take so much time in building something out of stone and gold and wood? Even the dishes and the vessels were specific. Why? Kind of like your life. Why is your life so intricate? Why are there so many things? And you know, we think about them doing what they did, but we have no idea the behind the scenes that went into these specifics. And how many times did they have to do it before they got it right? And it had to be right because God said, "Build me an ark." And what is the ark called? The Ark of God, but what is it? The Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant. Covenant. It wasn't the raw substance, materials, the earth's essence that was important to God. It was the specifics. So because it was the specifics, then it was important to God. Because God created this world for us to hear His voice, to have faith in His word, and to act upon it. Hear His voice, have faith in His word, and act on it. That's our call. It wasn't what was done, it was how it was done. It was done by hearing the voice of God, having faith, and acting on it. The construction of the ark was a thing of faith. Do you know what gave the ark such power? Faith in the word of God in bringing it together. The power wasn't in the gold or the wood or the rings. In the temple, the power wasn't in the drape or in the altar. The power was in the Word of God. They were obedient to and acted on it by faith. The power of the ark was the faith of the people in the God that told them to create it. God is beyond an ark. He is beyond a temple. But it was the faith of the people in obedience to the Word of God that gave the Ark of the Covenant its power. Remember, Ark of, this is my covenant with you. So we house, you house that power today, and so many aren't tapping into it because we don't understand what it's about. We're waiting for a kingdom or a rule or laws or churches or people or a somebody to come out of the somewhere and just make it right, or just to die. Dying is incredible because Paul said to die is to be present with the Lord. So that's incredible. But he said, but it's more important that I'm here for you. It's more important that I demonstrate the power of God. It's more important that I walk in the power of God. God wants to be tangible in the world. God wants to be evident in the world. That's why he said, I made man, and he said, you are the temple of the Holy Ghost. God created them, create an ark, so his power, and so the commandments, the covenant of the Lord could rest in the ark. What were the commandments? God's covenant with you. It's not the doing of the law. It's believing my word by faith. It's knowing that I am God with you. I am God in you. I am God through you. God is more than invisible. God is tangible. And the Word became flesh. God says, look and see my glory. How can you deny that I am God? You can't figure it out. You can't understand it. And when the only answer is not executed, which is God is so God, then you begin to doubt and you walk behind that drape and your judgment about life is obscured. It's wrong. It's deceitful. It's discouraging. You see you. I see you. You see me. But God said, I see Christ. And the Word and God became tangible. He became flesh and he dwelt among men. And he spoke and he healed. And most of the world had no idea. Nathanael was of the first to say, you are the Son of God, not Peter. And Nathanael was easy. Jesus gave him a word of knowledge. I saw you under the tree before you. You are the Son of God. How great would it be? You are the Son of God. And Jesus said, you believe I'm the Son of God just because I said I saw you? And Jesus was okay with that, but he said, you'll see more. You will see more. It's time to see more. People aren't healed because we don't believe in it anymore. Well, yeah, we do. Yeah, but we don't act upon it. And understanding where it comes from is not some power coming out of somewhere. It's power coming through the virtue of Christ. Just like the woman. She wasn't schooled in what she was about to do. She was faithed into it. God wanted to become tangible to her. So her faith said, touch, that's tangible, touch the hem of his garment. And when you do, this was her faith talking, by the way, not the woman. It wasn't her disease. It wasn't her poverty. It wasn't her discouragement. It was her faith. When I touched the hem, why? Who told you that? Where did you get that? Your faith will take you someplace that you will never go on your own. It will show you something you'd never see on your own. And her testimony was most certainly her healing. But the real testimony is that she pulled on heaven and heaven responded. She was able to touch some cloth. And virtue was able to run down that cloth like an electrical charge into her body. And the word says, and she was healed. And Jesus, not only was she healed, not only did she know, but God knew. Do you know what that is? Heaven and earth coming together. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us, heaven and earth coming together. And what's the point in that? Well, the point is obvious. God wants to become apparent. He wants to become tangible. He wants to be very, very real in your life. He is not only the invisible God. He is the God of all things, all life. He is the God of all humanity. He is the God of all season. He is the God of all time. And Jesus changed time on the cross when he demonstrated the last, the present, and the future all at the same time. That which was, that which is, and that which is to come. The triad of time happened at the same time, the only time it's ever happened. God didn't even create the world that way. It took 6 days. God decided, he chose 6 days to create, but Jesus recreated time as a covenant between God and man in one moment on the cross when he said, "It is finished, tetelestai." That's your power today. It is done, now let's do what has been done. Because the only way God becomes tangible is through the creation that pleased him to make, and that's you. Jesus stood, he walked, but it wasn't him as a person that moved them. It was their faith that moved them in who he was in person. They asked him, "Are you the Christ?" And there was a time he said, "I am." They still didn't see him. The power of the ark was not all the glitter and the gold. It was the faith that built it in the Word of God. It was faith in the Word of God that built it. And it was powerful. Do you know where that covenant is today? It's in you. The ark of the covenant of God rests in you. And this is the covenant that I will make with you after those days, says God. I will write my word in your heart, and in your mind will I write them. And I will be God to you, and you will be people to me. What is people? Temple. See, God desires, he wills the same thing for himself that he wills for you. He wants you to dwell in him, a temple for you. He wants a temple for himself. He wants us to enter him by faith. He wants to enter your temple of faith as well. Why would God want something different for you than who he is when the fullness of who he is why we are who we are? What are we doing? Till heaven and earth come into the unity. Till heaven and earth unite. This word is about uniting. This is a message that God in various and sundry different ways is going to send out into the world, because under my anointing, I know what the message of the time is. This is a time for the kingdom of God to be made known in such a way that we understand it for what it really is and where it is, so God becomes more and more tangible. He said, "I will make you kings and priests unto myself." You think, well, we've gone through a time, things have fallen away or cut short or didn't happen. Naomi has 2 sons and a husband. She goes into a land, her husband dies. Seemed like a bad day. But prophecy is happening. Her 2 sons marry. And have 2 wives. And then the 2 sons die. And then Naomi says, "I'm going to go back home." And she tells the daughters, "Go." And they both say no. She says, "No, go." And they say no. And she says, "Listen, you really don't have a future here with me. Go." And the one goes. Ruth stays. who says, your people will be my people, your God, my God, and I'm not leaving no matter what you say. That's an unusual kind of attitude, because prophecy was in her, working through her. She may not have been aware of what was going on, but Christ was calling to her. So she goes. She's with her mom, her mother-in-law. And her mother-in-law now has lost husband, no grandchildren, no sons. Two daughter-in-laws, one's gone, one's with her. Everything's gone. God always leaves you a remnant to remember. So you know that God is with you. God is with you. God wants you to call. I want you to see beyond what Naomi's husband could do, beyond what your two husbands can do. I'm going to do something. Christ is calling your name, Ruth. Christ is calling your name. So Ruth stays, and her mom, her mother-in-law, Naomi says, listen, have a relative. Go glean in his field. Think you'll be safe there. And just go glean. She's gleaning. She's gleaning in the field. That basically means she's picking up the scraps that are left behind. And you have to be careful about that. And it can be dangerous if you're in the wrong field. So she says, go, and she goes, and she just finds favor. Why did she find favor? Because she was being led by the Spirit of the Lord. You don't have to see what's going on. All you have to do is be sensitive and know God is with you. Something in her heart says, I have to stay here. I have to remain. Her faith called her. Her faith was showing her a reality that she was unaware of. Long story short, Boaz is the wealthy relative of Naomi. He marries Ruth. And they have a child, Obed. And then Obed has a child, Jesse. And then Jesse has a child, David. So who was Ruth? Great grandma to David, the lineage of Jesse, the lineage of Jesus Christ. Jesus, a kingdom. There is a kingdom trying to get out of this generation. But if you turn aside, if you walk away, if you throw in the towel, it's there, but you just don't see it. She is only one of five people mentioned. It's in the book of Matthew as generational lineage to Jesus Christ. This Ruth, great-grandmother and great-great-great-great-great-grandmother Jesus in lineage under the seed of David, prophesied. Have you told Ruth, you're going to be great-grandma to one of the greatest kings that will ever rule the earth, and his throne will be declared as the throne by which Christ rules. Had she known that, she'd have been out there with a tambourine. Pick up your tambourine. Pick up your drumstick. Pick up your horn. Make a sound. Because if you'll just stay, what do you mean? You have to say, the kingdom of God is coming out of me and I can't stop it. I think I sprung a leak. Out of your bellies will flow rivers of life-giving water. You sprung a leak. And the kingdom of God is flowing out of you. The kingdom of his wealth, the provision of his power, his essence, his reality. God is so, how real could you imagine God to be? How eternal, how much God is in God? He created a reality because guess what? This reality is part of his kingdom. And his kingdom are his thoughts. So how do we get this kingdom? Start thinking like God. That simple. Start thinking like God. Ruth, it may seem like everything's gone and you're having to go glean in a field like a beggar. But there's a kingdom coming out of you. No matter where you are, no matter what you're going through, seriously, truly, the reality is the kingdom of God wants you to spring a leak so it can pour out of you. And that happens by you understanding the kingdom of God is here and now within me. I am a part of God's reality. I'm not waiting for His reality to make itself known. I'm here to produce that reality because Christ is in me. God has a future. Who Ruth would have never thought that the lineage of the greatest king, which represents the greatest kingdom that will ever be, was going to come out of her great-grandmother to the future. You know, if you take a seed, and if God made the reality of that seed take place within the dimensions of that seed, in other words, that seed turned into a tree within itself and little tiny fruits, can you imagine how small a vineyard that would be? How small an orchard that would be? Little teeny tiny. It wouldn't have impact in the world. It wouldn't have much presence. So in order for that seed to become a tree, it realizes by design, the sower sows, that's God. But it realizes that the future in it is bigger than itself and there's no way it can contain it within the confines of its own space. So it falls into the massiveness of the earth and gets lost, seemingly. But because the power of the seed is the promise God has put on the inside of it, and that promise is you will turn into what you came from, it does. It dies to itself. It doesn't resist. You throw it in the ground and it follows the word of the Lord. It follows the course of God and it becomes a massive tree and tree after tree. And its fruit is endless because as long as it's there, it continues to produce seed. And even when it's gone, it's seed, 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 seed. It never ends. The eternity of God is in the seed. And you are the seed of God. And eternal life is on the inside of you. And you can apprehend that at any time. Enoch was taken up. Elijah was caught up. Moses passed through a sea with a stick. I wonder what you can do. The world wants to be impacted by you now. God has blown a trumpet. A seal has been rendered. We stand in a foretold time. This is an incredible time. It may not look like or feel like what you thought it would be, but we're here. We're living the spirit of truth. We're living the spirit and the time of revelation. You are the revelation of the will of the Father. You are the temple of the Holy Ghost. God made you flesh and He dwells among you. Jesus said, I'm going, but I'm coming and I'll make my abode in you. I and the Father will dwell in you. God's reality wants to partner with your reality because where God wants to live is in a temple of faith. And that's who you are. And this is the greatest season of your life. You can stand with me today. God, we praise you. We love you. We're surrounded by your glory. We're surrounded by your presence. Your word is in me. You've made me full and I can't go empty. What is God's purpose in creating you? Because he loved you. He wants to love you. He wants to love in you. He wants to love through you. He didn't just love you. Think about it. He didn't just love you. He wants you to love like him. Jesus is not the word only. He's the word in you. The power of the ark, the power within the temple, were the men and women that built it according to the word of God by faith. Faith has always been and always will be the power of God. And you treat it with honor, and you bless it, and you don't contradict it. You look beyond. You know who inherits the earth? The meek. I want to be this in the earth, and I want to be that, and I want to be powerful, and I want to... The meek inherit the earth. Now, meek isn't timid. The spirit of meekness is having the authority, having the power, cultivating the will in such a way that you can take dominion over any given moment of time and demonstrate the love and the wisdom of God. Meek means you don't fly off the handle. Meek means you don't have an inferiority complex, so you're constantly pushing off that big personality to make yourself bigger than you are. Meek means I'm confident in who I am, so I can be kind, I can be gentle, but I'm not timid. I know in whom I have believed, but I'm not forceful. You act like love, kind, gentle. Doesn't think ill of anybody, even if they deserve it in your mind. The kingdom of God is good. We want to get into the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God wants to get out of you so it can become tangible, obvious. The word calls it clear, expression, presence. And this is that day. This is the day. Now we're going to work into it. This is that day. You have to accept it in the fullness of its power and then understand that you will experience it like God, reality at a time. Maybe two or three realities at a time. You'll see God express himself this way and that way. And all that expression is not from things around you. It's the power that comes out of you. That's what draws favor to you. Because it's all about putting things together by faith. It's all about the assembly. Heaven and earth uniting by the faith of God that dwells in us. The kingdom of God is at hand. Hit it. You didn't provoke me very much. That I didn't prophesy more is on Jonathan, I'm just saying. Come on. Stir it up in the house. Time is changing, they say. Just another day. To all that I say nay. Time is now, ever the same, first and the last, beginning and end. It is finished. It is finished. Oh. It is finished. It is finished. It is finished. It is finished. Jesus, Lord of Lords, King of things, help me enjoy everything, Jesus. Today and forever. God, I praise you. Holy name, mighty God, you stay the same, but you're everything at all times, all the time. Make the old new. And what is old can pass away because it's an old imagination that is frayed and afraid. Let it go away. Let the new come. The new day of remembrance. Remember me, Jesus. Jesus. Julie, the eyes of the Lord are on you. He's been watching you and what you do when no one knows where you go. Jesus says, I'm leading you. It's so true. You're not who you used to be. The plans you were making for the days ahead have changed because you have changed. You're not planning to get old and fall away. Because of the Spirit of the Lord in you, you're planning for a brand new, bright, youthful day. The eyes of the Lord are upon you. You're healthier, stronger, happier, aren't you? Today than you were in the yesterdays of yesteryears. Swept away. Today is a new season. It's a real time, not an illusion. A revolution, a transformation. God's Spirit giving you information. Takes your mind, spins your head, says, look here, you're not dead. You're alive in strength. You stand by the Spirit of the Lord from span to span. God has guided you. He's led you. He's protected you. He's covered you. He's told you to forget that which was nothing. Let the pennies fly away. Let them go their own way in their own day. This is the day that God has made. I'll show you more. You will find more, do more, have more, say more, be more. This is a more. This is a day. So stand up and say, the eyes of the Lord are upon you, looking at you, watching you, caring for you, keeping you, leading you, guiding you. There's nothing to fear, so put away the tear, the dread of yesterday. You say, I let it die, and should I have? And God says, it died on its own, but what I've given you is life, and it will live on its own by my Spirit, says the word of the Lord. For we are one in the word of God. This is the day, let us say, I praise His name, He's the same, never change, He'll rearrange, He'll orchestrate something through you that is so foreign to you, you'll say, I never thought it would be quite this way. And God says, it's true, but didn't I tell you that's the way it was going to be? I would do what you hadn't imagined, and that you had not known to think or pray. And today you're walking in the reality of that day. Remember, you are part of God's reality. It's true. Give Him praise. Give Him praise. Bless His name. He's the same. He never changed. Just rearranged. So you can see who you're meant to be, everything God wants you to see. Look and say, this is by the Spirit of the Lord that dwells in me, because I am part of God's reality. I am part of God's reality. Oh, I am part of God's reality. He made me this way, created me. He formed you. He shaped you. He knew you. David said, in my mother's womb, you knew all my parts. You knew the days of my life. God knows you. He's calling to you. Don't impress anybody. Be a body surrendered to the Lord. Living sacrifice. It is your worship. Just give Him praise. Say of the Lord, I am a part of your reality. I am a part of your reality. I'm a part of your reality. You are the vine. We are the branches. And every branch in you produces fruit. So whatever God is cutting off, just lose the stuff. So reality remains in your life. You see that God is with me. I don't have to flee. I'll stand in the authority and power of His will, because God is doing wonders in this place. California, I call you blessed. No matter what men politics may say, the Lord dwells in you, in your seas, in your oceans, in your sand, in your dry place, in your desert place, in your open space, your crowded cities. God will infiltrate your kingdom, and His realm will rule and reign in you. I call this state blessed of God, chosen of the Lord, made for His purpose and His pleasure. Wonders will come out of here. And again it will be said, it is as though a gold rush has happened in California. Treasures are coming out of the earth. You are the treasures. You are the temples. You are the storehouses of God. This is that season. This is the day. You're a part of God's reality. Just say, God be for me, who can be against me? No one. What does that mean? I'll produce what God has said. No matter what people say is the dread. God says, don't turn your head. Look at me. I'm the Lord that stands before you, and the door is open wide. Come on inside, and I'll come inside. We'll dwell together in unity, health, strength, spirit, and power. You will know me for who I am, and that reality of revelation will never end. For I am the first, the last, the beginning, and the end. He which was and is and is to come. Blessed be his name. Everybody shout, yeah! Shout to the Lord today! The only way to walk in victory and in power. This is the moment, this is the hour, nothing to wait for. Don't hesitate, don't be reprobate, but say, I'm a reality of God. I'm a piece of his reality. He made me. Of him, through him, and to him are all things. To him be glory and honor and power. You realize when Joseph went before the king, he was saying what I'm telling you. I don't know, but I'm a part of God's reality, and that part knows. And I'll be able to tell you, Daniel had the same attitude. Elijah had the same attitude. Elisha had the same attitude. This is the power that's working in you. The best things are going to happen all in through you and around you. Great things are going to unfold before you. You're going to watch testimonies of God. People are going to spend hundreds of millions of earthly dollars to show an image that is a revelation that came to you in your spirit when you felt like maybe you were in the spirit of poverty, but you surrendered and humbled yourself in meekness to God. You controlled your tongue by the word of the Lord. You didn't contradict yourself and say it's hard. You said, I'm a part of God's reality. The kingdom of God is within me. This is the greatest season of my life. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I will dwell in the presence and the tabernacle of the Lord forever. And God is making his reality known. It will bear witness in the earth. And it will be supported from one end of the nations to the other by the word of the Lord, by the angels of God, and according to the favor of the Lord that dwells in you. This is the greatest season of your life. In Jesus' name. You believe it? Give the Lord a shout in the house. Happy Thanksgiving! Happy Thanksgiving!